जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद शिवाइंद्र सभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text Number 21. Tata Saptadashe Jataha Satyavatyam Parasharat Chakre Vedataro Shakha Drishtva Pumso Alpamedasaha Tata Saptadashe Jata Satyavatyam Parasharat Chakre Vedataro Shakha Drishtva Pumso Alpamedasa Tata Saptadashe Jata Satyavatyam Parasharat Chakre Vedataro Shakha Drishtva Pumso Alpamedasa Tata Saptadashe Jata Satyavatyam Parasharat Chakre Vedataro Shakha Drishtva Pumso Alpamedasa Tataha, thereafter, Saptadashe, in the 17th incarnation, Jataha, advented, Satyavatyam, in the womb of Satyavati, Parasharat, by Parashar Muni, Chakre, prepared, Vedataro, of the desire tree of the Vedas, Shakha, branches, Drishtva, be seen, Pumsaha. The people in general. Alpamedasa. Less intelligent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thereafter, in the 17th incarnation of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati through Parasar Muni. And he divided the one Veda into several branches and sub-branches, seeing that people in general were less intelligent. Purport. Originally, the Veda is one, but Srila Vyasadeva divided the original Vedas into four, namely Sama, Yajur, Rig, Atharva, and then again they were explained in different branches like the Puranas and the Mahabharat. Vedic language and the subject matter are very difficult for ordinary men. They are understood by highly intelligent and self-realized Brahmanas. But the present age of Kali is full of ignorant men. Even those who are born by a Brahman father are, in the present age, no better than the Shudras or the women. The twice born men, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, are expected to undergo a cultural purificatory process known as samskaras. But because of the bad influence of the present age, the so-called members of the Brahmana and other high-order families are no longer highly cultured. They are called the Dvija Bandhus, or the friends and family members of the twice born. But these Dvija Bandhus are classified amongst the Shudras and the women. Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches for the sake of the less intelligent class like the Dvija Bandhus, Shudras and women. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhashyatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. Thereafter, in the 17th incarnation of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati through Parasara Muni. And he divided the one Veda into several branches and sub-branches, and seeing that the people in general were less intelligent. Hare Krishna. So welcome all devotees for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, Sunday morning. We are covering the chapter number 3 of the first canto, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. This is in reply to the various questions of the sages of Naimisharanya that Suta Goswami is replying here. And the entire chapter is dedicated to description of Leela Avataras and Purusha Avataras. So we are finding that every verse there is a beautiful narration of one particular incarnation. We have been hearing for last few days so many incarnations. In fact, it's like a wonderful way of every day hearing the beautiful narration of one particular incarnation of the Lord. Yesterday, Pavaneshwar Prabhu spoke so beautifully on the entire story about the pastime of Parshuram, right? And in this way, previously Samudra Manthan was also very beautifully narrated. And every devotee is narrating the beautiful pastime of that particular incarnation. So today, the particular verse describes the beautiful incarnation of Lord Sri Vyasadeva. So unique opportunity, somehow by my great fortune, that I would speak of Vyasadeva sitting on Vyasasana. Both I am not qualified to either speak about him or not sit in Vyasasana. I'll try my best something to speak. Whatever I have learned and assimilated while I stayed in this temple here. So, I was referring to this book of Jiva Goswami, Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And very beautifully Jiva Goswami puts out the various details about all these incarnations mentioned here. And especially Jiva Goswami begins his book by saying that Lord's form are divided into three categories. And he mentions these three categories are Swayam, Swayam Prakash, Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, and third is Avesha Rupa. So, what is the difference between these three? Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa and Avesha Rupa. So, Jiva Goswami mentions that Swayam Rupa is essentially the same form of the Lord, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet he may appear in different shape and different activity he may perform, but is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Rupa. Then he mentions Tad Ekatma Rupa is actually not different from Swayam Rupa, but it is like Krishna's expanding into various form and delineating only particular features about his original form. Not maybe everything or all entire features of Supreme Personality of Godhead may be shown through that particular form. That means he comes for a purpose, for a particular mission, and he shows a particular glory of his one particular aspect of his beautiful nature. So that is Tad Ekatma Rupa. And in that, Jiva Goswami says there are two particular subtitles in Tad Ekatma Rupa. One is Vilas and other is Swamsa. And a third is Avesha Rupa, wherein the Lord empowers a Jiva with a one particular quality of his and gets his mission accomplished. So in this way, this beautiful this explanation is given. And then Jiva Goswami mentions that most of the time in this material universe, whenever Lord comes, incarnation happens, it is either Tad Ekatma Rupa or Avesha Rupa. Generally, Swayam Rupa never comes here. And therefore, we know that how once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears. It's once in a day of Brahma. So for us, once in a day of Brahma may look like a very simple thing. Ek bar din mein aage. But once in a day of Brahma is quite big. There are 14 Manus, And there are 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. And each cycle there are different incarnations coming. So incarnations are coming in big number in this one day. In that huge number, different incarnations, once in a day of Brahma, the Swayam Rupa, original Krishna also comes. So therefore Jiva Goswami mentions that generally incarnations when they appear in this world, they are either Tadekatma Rupa or they are Avesha Rupa. And then he goes on to mention about different incarnations of Lord, the Varaha Avatar, the details of Varaha Avatar, then Dattatreya, Kapila, Hamsa, Narsimha. And then a beautiful point he mentions in this Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that Lord comes as a writer incarnation. That he comes and writes books. And these writer incarnations are many. Which are they? Jiva Goswami illustrates. Yes, among the writer incarnation, one is Vedavyas. Then there is Kapila Muni, Lord Kapila. There is Dhanvantri. There is Dattatreya. And there is Rishabhdev. I don't know how Rishabhdev is writer incarnation, but maybe. At least we have no information here. But he spoke, right? He spoke the beautiful science of Krishna consciousness to his sons, the 100 sons. So in sense, he also gave a philosophy for us to follow. So Rishabhdev, again Dattatreya, Dhanvantri, Kapila and Vyasadev. So today we are discussing on the writer incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the literary incarnation known as Vyasadev. And therefore, Vyasadev description is very important because as is mentioned in the translation here, it was because of Vyasadev that we are getting a chance to read Srimad Bhagavatam, right? We are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam verse by verse. We are reading, we are distributing. Our whole society is based on, as Prabhupada said, books are the basis. And these books have originally come because of the great compassion of sage Vyasadev. I remember a beautiful story which I heard. You must also be knowing this story. This is from the Sri Sampradaya, where Sripad Ramanujacharya, who was that time staying in Kanchipuram, he was summoned by all the acharyas there to come and visit the shrine or the site where Sripad Yamunacharya had left his body. And Yamunacharya had told to call Ramanujacharya to be successor of this sampradaya. So Sripad Ramanujacharya was brought there to that place. And Sripad Ramanujacharya saw this beautiful body of Yamunacharya lying on the bed. In one sense, completely lifeless, already departed to the spiritual world. Yet he saw mystically a new thing, something special, that Sripad Yamunacharya had his three fingers closed, which was a little different from the idea of how a person leaves the body. So immediately he told that there are three unfulfilled wish of Yamunacharya. And immediately the other associates of Yamunacharya who were also present, they also knew that yes, Yamunacharya had three unfulfilled wish and he wanted the successor to fulfill that wish. So what were the three unfulfilled wish? The first wish was that he wanted someone, the successor, to write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra called as Sri Bhashya for Sri Sampradaya. So he wasn't able to do it, so he wanted his successor to do that. That was the first thing. The second thing was he wanted the successor to write commentary on Namalwar's works. So that was the second thing. And the third thing was he wanted to glorify two great sages who had helped in this age of Kali Yuga, people to come out of darkness. And he said that he wanted his last wish that I wanted two of my very good and able disciples to be named after Vyasa and Parashara. So just imagine how important Vyasa and Parashara are for us. That was one of the last wish where Yamunacharya wanted two disciples who wanted to be named after them. He could not find anyone so far. He wanted someone in future to be named after them. And when Sripad Ramanujacharya spoke each of this, as he spoke the first one, Brahma Sutra Bhashya, the first finger came up. And he spoke the next is the commentary on the Namalwar, second finger came up. And third, he spoke that how Yamanacharya's last wish was to have two disciples named after Vyasa and Parasar. The third finger came up. And everyone was happy to see that how Ramanujacharya understood the heart of Yamanacharya. So we find here in this particular verse, both of these great sages, Vyasa and Parashar, their descriptions given here. This is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam here, that we get a chance to today discuss on this beautiful great sages, Vyasa Dev and Parashar Rishi. Now there is a beautiful connection between both of them, a story. Quite mystical, many times very difficult to even narrate that story of Vyasadev. But if you know the background behind it, that story becomes very beautiful and yet very easy to even narrate that story. Generally, we have seen that the whole narrative of how Vyasadev was born on an island looks very difficult to narrate. But if you go through the eyes of Acharya, we see the whole narration as a very bona fide narration, which happens, and there is always Janma Karma Cha Medivyam. There is a divine divinity behind everything which happens. And the Vyasadeva's birth also has great divinity, the way he was born. So, let me take you to that time where sage Parashar is doing meditation inside river Ganges. And he performs meditation for 12 long years. Parashar Muni is a very, very important great sage. He was born through sage Shakti and his wife Adrushyanti, and his grandfather was Vasishtha Rishi. So due to some reason, Parashar's father had died untimely. So Vasishtha had raised Parashar Muni to youthhood and trained him in Vedic science. As a result, Parashar Muni became very able sage. He wrote many beautiful books. He compiled the Vishnu Puran. And as we know that this famous definition of Bhagavan, which the Prabhupada often quotes, right? Shannam bhaga iti gana. Aishvaresa samagrasya viryasya shashriya. Srila Prabhupada quotes that Varashar Rishi, the great authority of Vedic literatures, has given a definition of Bhagavan. One who possesses bhaga opulences. So anyone can be called Bhagavan only if he has six opulence to the fullest. And Parashar Rishi is quoted. So Parashar Rishi was a very well-known sage, reputed sage. And he is doing tapasya for 12 years. I mean, he could have done for a long time, but he is inspired to stop his tapasya and come out of Ganga. Some inspiration is taking him away from this place of tapasya. Parashar Rishi comes out of Ganga, walks down, and as sage starts collecting alms and inspired by Paramatma, is walking and straight comes to a place which is very close to Yamuna. In some place it is mentioned is very late in the night, so therefore he looks for a place to stay and finds a hut, and there is one fisherman staying there along with his daughter. So they arrived and welcome, and they allow him to stay for a night. He is very pleased, but he understands this is all signs of great mystic revelation, because for him to come out of tapasya in such a short time and still walk around and come to a place or stay in a fisherman's house. So he understands the divinity is going to reveal, and then he wants to cross the river in the morning. So the fisherman says, my daughter will make you cross the river. This daughter's name is Satyavati that time. I mean, she became Satyavati later. She was that time Matsyagandha. Because she was born in fisherman's house, so she smelled like a fish also. Matsyagandha. So, when she was in the boat and she was rowing the boat, Parashar Rishi glances on this girl. And Parashar Rishi feels some connection there, that there is some revelation coming here. And Parashar feels some attraction towards this girl. But Parashar is trying to understand why this attraction has come to me now. And then Parashar, he starts meditating. And deep in his meditation, he understands the whole connection between this attraction and this girl's past life, current situation, and what she's going to do in future, and what's going to come through this whole connection. And Parashar Rishi smiles. And while rowing the boat, he tells this girl that ordained because I am a Trikalyagya, I can see the past, present and future. I can see that the Lord is going to be born from your womb. as a great literary incarnation. And I am supposed to be the seed-giving father for that. So when Matsyagandha, this girl, her hears that, she is initially aghast that how can a great sage even speak in this particular fashion. But she also understands that he has been meditating because she has watched him very closely over the night, how he is very, very sense-controlled. And there was something coming from his mouth could not be just an impetus or an instinct of lust. So she wants to also cross-check. So she says that if you feel that this union has to be there and there is this union will give rise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a literary incarnation, so then there is conditions I also have to set which you have to fulfill. Said, what conditions you have? So the first condition is that, well, if you unite with me, how can you unite me with me in boat? No one should see this. So Parashara immediately covers the whole thing with a fog. And then this whole boat comes and lands or kind of, goes to an island which is created in between the river. So the first wish is fulfilled. The second wish she had is that I am still not married. And if I unite with you, how will I marry later? He said, okay, don't worry. By my tapasya, I will make sure that after uniting and you get a child, you will be again virgin. That means you can marry again. Your virginity will be intact. And third is, you are a great Brahmana. I am from a fisherman's family. My body is smelling fishy. How will you unite? So don't worry. My union will also convert your body from a fishy smell to a smell of, like a very good fragrant smell. In fact, your name will be Yojana Gandha. That means you will smell so beautiful, fragrant, that for one Yojana, that fragrance will go. Then she understands that this union is not just an ordinary union. So by Krishna's arrangement, then Parashar Rishi unites with Satyavati on that island. And right at that time, a child is born. Not a small child. A young boy appears from the womb of Satyavati. And what is the features of this young boy? He is a darkish, bluish in color. And he has matted hair. And he has a staff holding as a sadhu. And immediately offers obeisance to Parashar Rishi and Satyavati. And Parashar Rishi could see this whole thing that how this girl, she was born in fisherman's family because of some previous curse. She was an apsara and she was cursed. But yet because of a great activity in the heavenly planet and her tapasya, austerities, she was also ordained to be the mother of the literary incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and later a very important role in the whole dynasty of Kuru, to become the mother of Kuru dynasty. So you could see that. So Parashara Rishi, after giving the child, then immediately Parashara Rishi, very detached, he has done his service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, he walks away, and then Satyavati is there, now she is Satyavati. And she is with her own son, young son, and she becomes attached to her own son. And small Vyasdev, small boy, and he says, Mother, I am going to speak something to you which you will not like. So what is that? I am going to not stay with you. I am going to go away. I will travel in forest and mountains and do tapasya, so I won't stay. So she becomes very distressed. You are my son. And if you go away, who will take care of me? Don't worry. Whenever you are in danger, whenever you need me, you just remember me and I will be there right at that time, immediately from wherever I come. And this way Vyasdev leaves and Satyavati comes back to her home. And later, as we know, Parashar Muni had already foretold her future. She met Shantanu Maharaj and she got married to Shantanu, and then she got two sons, Vichitravirya and one more, I forgot name. Chitrangada? Yeah. Yeah, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. And the story goes, she became a very important lady in the whole Kuru dynasty. So, Sage Vyasdev walked away from that place, and Sage Vyasdev was traveling, but all the demigods, they were thinking that how can Lord has incarnated as Vyasdev and we are not doing any service. So Brahma and all the demigods came and met Vyasdev and said, well, you just walked away. There were no samskaras performed. What about your name giving and all that? So Brahmaji and all the great rishis sat down, performed a yagya and gave name giving, had a name giving and samskara ceremony for Vyasadeva. And many names were given. And one of the prominent names was given was that because you were born on an island, Dvaipayan, island is also called Dvaipayan, Dvipa. Dvip Dvaipayan, born on an island. And because your varna, your complexion is bluish, blackish, so your name will be Krishna. So Krishna Dvaipayan. So you got this name Krishna Dvaipayan, and Brahmaji said your main service will be to compile the Vedas, right? So Veda, so the word Veda came, and he will compile the Veda in a way by dividing the Vedas. So division is called as Vyasa also. So therefore you got the name Krishna Dvaipayan Veda Vyas. So this is a beautiful name which Brahmaji gave him of all the names he had. And after this, it is said that Sage Vyasadeva started traveling different places. And then we know the beautiful story of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the story of Srimad Bhagavatam, which may come now as I spoke, speaking, was immediately the same chapter which comes of the next chapter, is fourth chapter, right? Like, after third chapter, then when the six questions are over, Shaunaka Rishi, congratulates Suta Goswami for answering their questions. And immediately before Suta Goswami could say, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, immediately further questions are asked by Shaunakadi Rishis. Shaunaka Rishi mentions that you spoke so beautifully about all these different answers of all the questions we asked you. We wish to know the history of Bhagavatam. And therefore, this history of Bhagavatam is primarily based on three Mahabhagavats. The book Bhagavat has connection with three person Bhagavat. So please tell us about Vyasadeva. Please tell us about Sukadeva Goswami and tell us about Parikshit Maharaj. So beautiful question. One question on Vyasadeva, one question on Sukadeva Goswami, one question on Parikshit Maharaj. One question means like an inquiry. And the whole first canto is full of that, right? Sometimes those who are very, very good listeners, who are always eager for Krishna Katha, they ask a question in such a way that their question leads to actually another Bhagavatam class. Because they are so eager to hear. And we can hear from this, we can see from the eagerness of Shaunaka Rishi that he asked a very simple question, but that simple question led to the whole entire remaining 15 chapters of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So speak of Vyasadeva, speak of Sukadeva Goswami, speak about Parikshit Maharaj. So the next chapter mentions about Vyasadeva, what happened in his life. So we today covered what how Vyasadeva Vyasadeva appeared in this material world. Now what happened in his life is a very interesting thing, which is very well known in Srimad Bhagavatam. But one point which is mentioned in this particular verse is, it is mentioned Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati. And the other place in the fourth canto mentions that he appeared in the third phase of Dwapara. So Jiva Goswami mentions in his commentary that every yuga is divided in three phases. The middle phase is the prominent phase covering 80% of the yuga. The first and third, last one, are like the covering of the yuga, and they only cover 10% each. So the 10%, then 80%, and 10%. So what are the kati classified as? It is said the first is called as Sandhya Rupa, which is the beginning of every yuga, covering 10% of the yuga. The next is Yuga Rupa, which is actual yuga, which covers the 80%, the middle part. And the last is Sandhya Amsha Rupa, which is the setting of the Sandhya. That means Sandhya is now over. It's the end of this yuga, which compiles of 10% of that. So, here, Sage Vyasadeva was born in Sandhya Amsha, the end of Dwapara. Lord Krishna also was appeared in this Sandhya Amsha portion of the Dwapara Yuga, the last. And the reason was because Lord Krishna comes and immediately then the next yuga starts, Kali Yuga, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So there is a connection. Lord Krishna comes in the end of Dwapara Yuga, and as he is about to leave, then all the great sages ask him, if you are leaving, then who will take care of what will happen in Kali Yuga? He said, I will appear as Bhagavatam. And then he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who delineates all of us that Bhagavatam is the ultimate book, and Bhagavatam teaches pure love of Godhead. And this pure love of Godhead is very easily available in this age by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this unique way Lord appears in various incarnations, sometimes in a very easy, understandable way, sometimes inconceivable way. So Vyasadeva appeared in a very inconceivable way to Parashar and Satyavati. We find many places Lord appears in inconceivable way, like Varahadeva appeared from nostril of Brahma. Right? It's inconceivable. Of all places Krishna could have come, it could have come from, let's say, from head of Brahma, from arm of Brahma, from nostril of Brahma, right? Maybe Brahmaji must have also sneezed, you know, something coming out from his nose. And Varahadeva comes and becomes a huge, gigantic size. So Varahadeva came from nostrils. Then we have Prithu Maharaj coming from churning the dead body of all people, King Veda, atrocious ruler, you know. Supreme Personality of Godhead coming from churning a dead body. So Lord can come from any place. Lord is not bound by the rules of this material world. So in this sense here, Vyasadeva appeared from Satyavati and Parashar Muni and glorified both of them by his birth. And this sage Vyasadeva was traveling in different places and he was performing a tapasya. It is said that Vyasadeva plays a very major role in the entire Mahabharata. The first is Krishna who plays a major role in helping the Pandavas, but Vyasadeva also comes in proper intermission at right times and helps the Pandavas to live a life of piety and get inspired. So there are many places in the whole world where Vyasadeva's pastimes are depicted. Like for example, there is a place in Kanpur where this is a place where Vyasadeva was born. It is on the banks of Yamuna. Now there are a lot of difference of opinion where Vyasadeva was born. Within India there are 3-4 places. In Nepal there is one place. So could be, no problem. What's wrong in having Vyasadeva born in one place? It could be different kalpas also. Because we need to know that Ved Vyas is our post. In this age, in this particular yuga cycle, this post was taken directly by Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Dvaipayan. But in other yuga cycles, this post is taken by different people. So now the 28th yuga cycle, the 28th Ved Vyas is Krishna Dvaipayan. But in other yuga cycles, there are different sages named. Like I was going through some list of sages. So the first yuga cycle of this particular Manu, Swayam Prabhu was the Ved Vyas. Then after that Satya Rishi became Ved Vyas. Then Bhargava Rishi once became the Ved Vyas. Then Vasishtha Rishi once became Ved Vyas. Then Parashar Rishi, 2 cycles ahead, he became the Ved Vyas. So Ved Vyas essentially is a post who comes and he does the compilation of Vedas before Kaliyuga begins. Because Kaliyuga is the age of degradation and less memory. So what was heard through ages, what was received through ages by the mode of hearing, in Kali Yuga it became to the mode of transcribing and applying in form of books. So this important thing happens in the beginning of every Kali Yuga, and Ved Vyas comes to compile those books. But in this particular yoga cycle which we are living in, sage Ved Vyas who has appeared is actually Krishna himself, therefore Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. So there are many places where beautiful pastimes of sage Vyasadeva has happened. There are past temples in Mayapur, there is past temples in Badrinath, there is a past temples in Kanpur, there is past temples in Ekachakra, there are past temples in Damoli, in Nepal, all different places. I remember long back I got a chance to go to Damoli, and Sri Chaitanyapur and myself, we were there. And we went to this beautiful, unique place, not many people go there, on the banks of two rivers. Very beautiful rivers coming from Himalayas, small rivers, very cold weather. And when we went to a small temple, there were 28 or 30, something like that, I don't remember how many, different deities of Vyasadeva. There were so many deities of Vyasadeva. Then we saw that actually those deities of Vyasadeva had names beneath them. So when we saw the number, the first So understood, the first Vyasa of this particular day of Brahma, this is Vaivasvat Manu, this is the first Vyasa. So all 28 deities were there. And there was a small cave there, and people who were staying there, they said that this is the place where Vyasa compiled some Puranas here. So wherever I went for some yatras and I found different places of Vyasdev, I always found people saying, Vyasdev ne yahan par is Puran ka rachna kiya, is Vedo ka rachna kiya, compiled some Puranas here. So Vyasdev was always on a move, right? So he compiled all these Vedic literatures in different places. But the most prominent is in Badrinath. Where we go in Badrinath, then we see this Vyasa Gufa, right? This beautiful Vyasa Gufa. The Gufa also in the shape of like the palms, the palm leaves, like layers. You go inside, Sage Vyasadeva sitting there. And that is a prominent place, because it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself, that that was a place where the revelation of Srimad Bhagavatam came to him through Narad Muni. It is mentioned Vyasadeva was sitting on the banks of River Saraswati. So River Saraswati is there in Vyasa Gufa, that place. So that is a place where he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is also mentioned he wrote the Mahabharata also in that place. Some people say that he is not the writer, rather he is a compiler. He didn't write, he just compiled information, or he took available work, he transcribed it and divided it into sections by which people can easily understand. And some say that he compiled many books, but he wrote Mahabharata. And that for that Mahabharata, he said he called on Lord Ganesh. And he said, I want to write this book, but I can't write alone. I need someone to help me in writing. So the Ganeshji then wrote Mahabharata for him. So these are various things, and different Puranas, different books, they have different versions on this. But one thing which I mentioned is Badrinath is the place where sage Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he also wrote many of the Vedas there. So sage Vyasadeva sitting there, in different places he sat, and he saw that in future Kali Yuga people will come and they will be degraded. Manda sumanda matayor, manda bhagya upadrita. So they will be lazy, misguided. So Vyasadeva was feeling very distressed seeing the condition of people in Kali Yuga. And then he was driven by compassion, and he decided that let me make the sources of knowledge accessible to people here. It's a very amazing thing to analyze that knowledge was already there, but it was being transmitted through the mode of guru and shishya, through hearing process. But Vyasadeva thought this process will not work. People have to get this knowledge right with them. And therefore Vyasadeva decided to compile that knowledge. And when he decided to compile that original Vedas, he divided the Vedas into four. Why he divided it? Because he wanted to, it is mentioned when Brahmaji, he spoke the Vedas when he heard from Lord Krishna. When he spoke the Vedas, he spoke all the Vedas in a fashion which is like a very spontaneous fashion. Everything was mixed. But Vyasadeva separated everything. Right? Separated everything and gave it systematic. The four Vedas. Then he also gave a supplementary Puranas, Itihasas, Mahabharat, the fifth Veda, and then give each Veda to his disciples to teach them. So this is Vedvyas' contribution in terms of all the knowledge which is available in the whole universe were compiled in a written form so that it becomes accessible. So we see the whole parampara coming down, we see that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came in this age of Kali Yuga, he was prominently going around and distributing the holy names. But he also knew that this holy name should have a basis in the form of literatures. So he sent his main disciples, the renunciates, the six Goswamis, to Vrindavan to establish Vrindavan as the most important place, re-excavate those holy places, but also prominently, Nana Shastra Vichari Naika Nipuno. Again, they compiled. It was not like the six Goswamis themselves wrote some new books. They just compiled all the information and brought them in beautiful books, delineating the Gaudiya Siddhanta. So the six Goswamis stayed in Vrindavan for all their life, and their major work was to make the books, make the knowledge available in easy way, and there were books. And later we see that how Jiva Goswami thought the books are available, but now the books have to also go away from this place. We cannot stay in Vrindavan always. So then he found three people very, very responsible: Srinivas Acharya, Shamanand Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur. Said, you take these books on the bullock cart, and you make multiple copies of these books, right? Those times were difficult times, where only one single copy was there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was studying in South India, and he came to many places. For example, he went to Tiruvatta Adikeshwar temple. He found this beautiful Brahma Samhita being chanted there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted one copy, and they had only one copy. So he asked one Brahmana, please help me, right? So one Brahmana, he wrote the same Brahma Samhita and gave the duplicate copy. So those were the days where duplication was done by handwritten. There were no pages, there were no, what do we say, scanning facility, there were no Xerox facility that time. So labor work, you know, hand writing down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Madurai, met that Brahmana in Madurai who was very much distressed hearing that Sita Devi had been kidnapped by Ravan. So he consoles him, then he goes to Rameshwaram. And then he comes to his temple where they are reciting this Kurma Puran. So you understand, this Kurma Puran has all the whole story with proof. So he asks the Brahmana, can you write this particular section of Kurma Puran and give me? So he writes down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walks back to Madurai and gives the Brahmana this Kurma Puran story. This is the story where it mentions, you know, Kurma Puran says Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan, but it was like she was not the original Sita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is travelling in Maharashtra on the banks of Krishna River, right, near Satara. And then he beautifully sees some Brahmana chanting below Mangal Thakur's book, Krishna Karnamrit. Mahaprabhu asks him, can you duplicate this copy for me? So they all write down this whole thing and give him. So those were days very difficult. Duplication was not easy. So therefore, Jiva Goswami had to give this very big task. Not just one book, a whole set of books on a bullock cart, truck that is loaded with books. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Loaded with books. The books were sent to Bengal and Odisha to be duplicated. So whole we see parampara beautifully flowing down. And then we find Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing commentaries on already written works of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Baladev Vidya Bhushan commenting on the Goswami's works. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes. And his major mission is to become pioneer of Krishna consciousness. But his basis are the books. So he writes so many books, compiles more than 100 books in spite of his busy schedule. Most of the books are in English language. First time, a revolution in history that Gaudiya Siddhanta is published or written in an English language. And apart from, like Sanskrit was the original language which all the Goswamis wrote, then later Bengali also was the language which was chosen by the later Acharyas to write. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote in Bengali, Chaitanya Charitamrit, like those books. And then later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began a revolution of English writing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sadhakur expanded that. And he made printing press within the temples and published the book. And Srila Prabhupada was given the seed. He grew a huge tree of mission of publishing books. The whole Siddhanta is what Vyasadeva is trying to tell us here, what Bhagavatam is trying to tell us here. Vyasadeva came to make the knowledge accessible to people in Kali Yuga. Whether they will read or not, that's another thing. But at least accessible hona chahiye. So therefore, Vyasadeva compiled and divided the Vedas. One devotee was mentioning very beautifully, many times when we give a lecture to an audience who are very new, it becomes very difficult for them to assimilate. Therefore, such lectures are always aided by some either PowerPoint or some interactive sessions. So people can appreciate that. People appreciate more. Today's generation in Kali Yuga, people are not so intelligent to catch up things. Especially philosophy is very difficult to catch. But the same philosophy is explained in pointers or videos or this. Like, people appreciate that. People say, "Acha lecture diya." Right? People appreciate lecture not by the content of the lecture, but how the content is presented. So presentation is more important than the content nowadays. And we find that Vyasadeva understood this mentality of Kali Yuga. And from that time, he presented the content in a very unique way. But divisions and then delegation, and in this way the propagation happened. And Srila Prabhupada also took the same thing. He published the whole thing in an easy to understand English language and made the books, whether the market was there or not. Prabhupada said, create the market. Right? Everyone asked Prabhupada, who would read these books? Who said, you just distribute, don't worry. Prabhupada pushed that. About against all odds, everyone is saying, Prabhupada, who will buy a book? You know, Prabhupada, no one is buying a back-to-back magazine. Prabhupada said, just keep distributing, don't worry. Krishna will arrange. And then the whole plan gets fully revealed to us that book distribution became one of the most important services in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada took the whole book distribution such a scale. Millions of books were distributed in places where people did not know about Krishna, but Prabhupada made them accessible. So you find it today in this age of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada, while he was emphasizing the preaching of the Hare Krishna movement, he mentioned that while we preach, we should also make sure in our preaching, we should make that knowledge accessible to people. We find so many people in our Krishna consciousness movement, they became devotees because they had books in them, in their houses. Right? And when the time came, they went to those books. It will never happen that people will be needing something and they will get everything in their hands immediately. No. So we need to make them have those books. The accessibility has to be there. As Vyasadeva has shown by his own avatar, that he made everything accessible in form of written books. So sage Vyasadeva, he was sitting on the banks of river Saraswati, and he had compiled all the Vedas and delegated all the Vedas. Yet he was feeling some dissatisfaction, some emptiness in his heart. He was not understanding exactly that I have done such a mammoth task of writing down all the Vedas, compiling all the Vedas and systematically, and yet why I am not feeling that satisfaction of having done such an important and very Herculean task. So Vyasadeva, being a great sage, when the great sages are always in confusion and anxiety, they turn inwards and they take help of the Paramatma in the heart. That's what we see always. Great sages, they would not go to Google and do Google search there for their anxieties. Right? But they actually turn inwards and see what is the answer for this. And when Vyasadeva is in despondency and is thinking what could be the answer for my anxiety, and then comes in Narad Muni, his own spiritual master. And Vyasadeva understands that exactly at the right time, Narad Muni, who is always traveling, I have not called him. Right? And yet he has come here. And Narad Muni smiles at sage Vyasadeva. So our acharyas mentioned that, why are you smiling? Vyasadeva is in trouble and Narad Muni is smiling. So he is smiling. Our acharya said he smiles because to tell him that I am not going to embrace you today. And he also smiling that, well, I have come here to reassure that what you are thinking, the despondency, whatever you are going through, is actually true. And what you are thinking is also right. What is thinking, that is also mentioned. He was thinking within his heart that maybe I have not enough glorified Krishna. This is something which is lingering in his mind. I have not glorified enough Krishna. And Narad Muni comes and reassures, this is the point which I am going to come and now clear it up for you. So Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva that your despondency is certainly not due to lack of knowledge. Neither your despondency is because you have lack of even realized knowledge. You have knowledge and realized knowledge both. However, you have done all this major work, but it has two defects. The first defect is you have insufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Insufficiently glorified. That means you have mentioned about him, but not enough mentioned. So our acharyas mentioned that Vyasadeva immediately says, but I wrote so many Purans, no? In Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, I spoke so much about Krishna and Lord Narayan. So you mean second defect. Yes, you spoke about them. But problem is, you also over-emphasize on four Purusharatha, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. That means you spoke about Lord Narayan, but immediately the next chapter was Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So what happened, the whole chapter of Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, which was delineated there, got covered up. And people are always looking for dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So they may leave this or they may forget this and go give more interest and more focus on this dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So therefore these two defects are prominently in your writings. First is you have insufficiently glorified Lord, and second is you have overemphasized on the four purusharthas. And then Narad Muni mentions that how there are two types of literature. One is the mundane literature, another is the transcendental literature, and starts glorifying how transcendental literature speaks about only bhakti. Right? Vaishkaramim api achutta bhavar jvarjitam. And then he glorifies Vyasdev that you are an amazing author. You compiled so many beautiful literatures, and you are very fortunate, you have perfect vision, but you haven't fulfilled the goal or purpose of your incarnation, and that is to write a spotless book. And then sage Vyasdev gets that hint from there, and then he sits down and writes the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is something about the life of sage Vyasdev, how he was inspired by Narad Muni to write Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Narad Muni, for him, he knew that he is actually instructing the Supreme Personality of God himself, Ved Vyas. But because Ved Vyas was a disciple, so Narad Muni just goes for a brief time. It is not that Narad Muni has to sit down and tell him everything, how to write Bhagavatam and all those things, nothing. Our Acharya has mentioned, Narad Muni went there for a brief time, told him where he went wrong, gave him the whole life history of his as an example how bhakti is the only way of achieving perfection of life, and I am the brilliant example of that. Once he finished speaking his katha, Narad Muni was out. Narad Muni did not come and check again, Bhagavatam chal raha hai ki nahi, first canto, second canto, which canto is going on? No, nothing. So this is the beautiful work of Vyasdev. So Bhagavatam also was always there. It's not like Bhagavatam was written by Vyasdev. Bhagavatam was already there. Bhagavatam is eternal. But Vyasdev compiled Bhagavatam. I was hearing a lecture of Chaitanya Charan too. He was mentioning what is the meaning of compilation. What is the contribution of Vyasdev in compiling? He was saying that previously knowledge was spontaneously flowing. But that whole knowledge was properly channeled by Vyasdev. Let me give an example. Chaitanya Charan mentions in one of his lectures that just like Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, it was actually a spontaneous flow. It was a Gita, song. Right? How is a song? Song flows spontaneously. The song does not stop in chapters, right? It just flows. So, Vyasadeva took the whole Gita. He divided that into 18 chapters and named each chapter by himself. So, this is the contribution. So, whatever we know about 18 chapters, that was all compiled by Vyasadeva in a form of a book which could be readable by us. Similarly, Bhagavatam also is like that. Bhagavatam also is free-flowing. But Vyasa compiled into 12 cantos. And then 12 cantos, then different chapters, chapter names, and then after 9 cantos, then the 10th canto was the most prominent, beautiful, Lord Krishna's, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Lord Krishna's beautiful pastimes and activities are mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Radha Gopinath too mentions, was mentioning very beautifully, sage Vyasa wrote Bhagavatam and also mentioned that how Bhagavatam should be read in a systematic way. And 10th canto should not be haphazardly, one should not jump on the 10th canto. He was mentioning a beautiful point. The 9 cantos resemble the 9 months a lady takes to deliver a child, right? She has to undergo a lot of labor and a child is born. Similarly, Krishna has to appear in our heart. He has to appear in a scientific way. We just cannot jump. So the 9 cantos represent all the wonderful labor we take going through all the beautiful stories of Bhagavatam, the dealings of Krishna in different incarnations with his devotees. Understand the spirit of Bhagavatam. Understand who this Krishna is. Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the origin. And then we understand all that, then it becomes very easy to accept that this Krishna was creating mischief in Vrindavan, this Krishna went on to cheat, and this Krishna went on to tease. All that pastimes, beautiful pastimes, could be relishable to all of us when you go through the first 9 cantos. So in this way, there are beautiful leelas of Vyasadeva we're mentioning. So, so one beautiful pastime from Mahabharata, that how sage Vyasadeva helped the Pandavas, I was mentioning earlier. So this is after the five Pandavas, they were sent to the house of Lakh, where they were supposed to burn by fire, Varnavrat. But they escaped by the intelligence of Vidura. So now they were moving alone, five of them with their mother Kunti. And they were thinking, why this happened to us? And just few days back, we were in the palace, living a very royal life. And then we were told to enjoy a vacation, royal vacation. And then we go for a vacation. Suddenly, now incognito, we are moving. Everyone in the world thinks that we are dead. And we are here like a recluse. No one, nothing to even eat also. So they were contemplating. In that contemplation, they came on the outskirts of this village called as Ekachakra. And they were staying under a tree with no one knowing about them. And that is the place sage Vyasadeva came. And that tree is also there even today also. Go to Ekachakra Gram, Nityanpur's appearance place. That place called Pandav Tala. And that is the tree under which the five Pandavas and Mother Kunti lived incognito. Vedavyas came there and then he told them that every living entity in this mortal world, when he stays, his whole life is combination of previous lives, sin and pious activities. There is not a single person here who is completely sinful, fully, and no pious. And there is not a single person who is completely pious and no sin. It's all a combination of many things. So then Vedavyas told Pandavas that whatever is happening in life should be taken in that way. So don't worry. Right now time is not good. But I can see that you have come to right place. Stay in this village, Ekachakra. Disguise yourself as Brahmanas now. And take shelter of a Brahmana house here. And due course of time, things will be revealed and you will come to know that whatever happened now is all for the good. So then the five Pandavas were incognito with Kunti Devi. They took Brahmana clothes and they stayed in the Brahmana's house there. And then you know the story of how Bakasura was there and he was killing so many people. Every house had a turn. And then the Brahmana's turn came and Bhima went and killed Bakasura. And before everyone could know who these people were, they left this village. And ultimately they came to the place where Draupadi was being, she was there, Swayamvara was going on. And Arjuna went and he married Draupadi. And then Kunti Maharani tells everyone to get married to Draupadi. And from there the whole thing comes that how Pandavas are still alive. So Vyasadeva was coming in between Mahabharat many places and guiding. Vyasadeva was also instrumental in helping Dhritarashtra change, but he was not changing. Even to the level of even giving a chance to Dhritarashtra, that Dhritarashtra, you are born blind, you must be a little worrying about what's happening on battle of Kurukshetra. I can give you vision by which you can see what's happening on the battle of Kurukshetra. And Dhritarashtra says, but what will happen? Give me the end result. The end result will be doom. Your all sons will be killed. So I don't want to see them being killed. But I want to hear about them. So who will tell me? So Vyasadeva immediately gives that vision to Sanjaya, and Sanjaya gives the Akho Dekha Hal, gives that whole narration to Dhritarashtra. So Vyasadeva plays a very pivotal role in Mahabharata in many places. If you read the original Mahabharata, you will see that Vyasadeva comes exactly in time, instructing Dhritarashtra, instructing Duryodhan, and guiding Pandavas. In fact, when it is mentioned in Mahabharata that before Yudhishthir Maharaj went for a dice game, it was Vedavyas who came that at this time, as I see in the future, there's going to be a big war between both of you brothers, right? And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I'm not interested in that war. I said, yes, you're not interested in the war, but it will happen. So he said, what should I do? To delay this war, all you can do is just don't go against them. Whatever they want, you just agree with them. This is a hint which Vedavyas gives them. And Vedavyas says, whatever your elders tell, just follow it. And Vedavyas goes away, and immediately there is a letter which comes from Dhritarashtra that he is inviting for a gambling match. And he's thinking, if invited earlier, then I would have, maybe option was there to say no, but now Vedavyas has told, so I will not say anything, do anything which will lead to the war, and therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go to the gambling thing. And the whole all the narrations which happened there took place. So there are beautiful stories of Ved Vyas in different parts of Bharatvarsha, and many more things are there. One last thing which I want to tell before I complete this class is, in this Vaishnava Tithis, there is one day called as Guru Vyasa Purnima, right? So what is that Guru Vyasa Purnima? So it is said, Guru Vyasa Purnima is the day when sage Vyasadeva was born, or appeared on that day. And it is also the same day when sage Vyasadeva began the compilation of Vedas. The same day also is the day when he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, began writing Vedanta Sutra. And therefore, commemoration of that, Vedavyas is glorified on this day of Vyasa Purnima. And so sage Vyasadeva, actually sage Vyasadeva is even though his incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his post, he is a Chiranjeev. He stays long years in this whole cycle of yugas. So it is said that sage Vyasadeva, he always eternally resides. Even now also he is there in the Aprakat Badri, where he stays always. And we also know that how Madhvacharya visited Badrinath, and then he went alone to meet Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness. And then he came down. Shripad Madhvacharya wrote 37 books of philosophy. And the followers of Madhvacharya treat all the 37 books as very holy. But specifically, two books are considered very prominent. Which are the two books? The Vedanta Sutra Bhashya. And second is the Tatparya Niranaya of Mahabharata. Why? Because these were the two books which Vyasadeva told Madhvacharya. When you go down, you write a lot of books, but specifically write these two books. So therefore, we can see that Vyasadeva's interaction with Shripad Madhvacharya, and Vyasadeva is still living in this upper Himalayas. So, the same Vyasadeva is accessible to all of us in the form of Guru Parampara. And therefore, the spiritual master is representative of Srila Vyasadeva. And therefore, when spiritual master's appearance comes, it is called as Vyasa Puja. And therefore, when we begin the Vyasa Puja program, we first start with the meaning of Vyasa Puja, right? And we glorify first Vyasadeva. The same Vyasadeva is appearing to us in the form of the Guru Parampara, in the form of a spiritual master. And through him, the spiritual master, the Guru, we get the conclusions which sage Ved Vyas has given us. And the same conclusion has to be spoken every day. So every temple more or less has a place from where the whole exponent of Vedic wisdom is spoken. And that is called as Vyasa Peetha or Vyasasana. So we have such a prominent contribution of sage Vyasadeva in our life. Vyasadeva has given us all the books, right, by which we read and we understand the meaning of purpose of life. And we have a Vyasasana, from where we sit in front of Vyasasana, we hear what sage Vyasadeva has given us as the Bhagavat. The same Vyasadeva has also appeared in this age of Kali as Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he gave us the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Srimad Bhagavatam was sage Vyasadeva's contribution. He gave Lord Krishna's beautiful pastimes, 10th canto. And he came as Vrindavan Das Thakur and gave us the beautiful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the incarnation of this age of Kali. So these are some beautiful pastimes of sage Vyasadeva. It is said sage Vyasadeva eternally resides in upper Himalayas, but he also stays eternally in Mayapur. So in Mayapur there is this place, Vidyanagar. And that is the place where sage Vyasadeva eternally resides. And anyone who goes there with pure heart, and he can actually see sage Vyasadeva compiling the Vedas and writing Bhagavad there eternally. It is said when five Pandavas came to Mayapur, Mahatpura, near Mamgachi Modumdvip. So when they came there, the five Pandavas were staying, Draupadi also was staying there. And sage Vyasadeva came to meet the five Pandavas in Modumdvip. And Vyasadeva told the five Pandavas, do you know which place you have come to? This is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is going to appear in the age of Kali in future. So Draupadi and all the Pandavas asked, we want to know about this. So sage Vyasadeva, he spoke the Gaur Bhagavat there directly. So So he was speaking Gaur Bhagavat, and immediately everyone came to know Asita, Devala, Chavana Rishi. They all came running and they sat down in the Gaur Bhagavat class. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was a Gaur Bhagavat class given by sage Vyasadeva to all the Pandavas, and they stayed there. And then after the Bhagavat was over, the Gaur Bhagavat was spoken, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in midst of everyone and gave his beautiful darshan to all the Pandavas and the great sages, Rishis who assembled there. So this is some connection of sage Vyasadeva, how we are connected to Vyasadeva. Originally our sampradaya, Brahma Madhya sampradaya also has Vyasadeva. And also Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literatures, and now Vyasadeva has a beautiful role in the Gaudiya Siddhanta in terms of writing the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat for us, and also personally staying in Mayapur eternally and guiding all conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. So we end our class here. Any questions? We have 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.